When our backs was against the wall And it looked as if it was over. You made a way. Come on. And we're standing here only because you made a way.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Cheryl, for leading us in worship and song and praise to our God. He is a great God, isn't he? Listen, thank you for joining us, all those who are now joining us by podcast, and all of you out here on the campus. Whether you're on the campus or on the cast, we appreciate you coming in coats and cars and amen, whatever way you come. We appreciate having you here this morning. I want to just begin by saying, hey, you're not here by accident. You're here by providence. Yeah, God wanted you to be here this morning because God had something to say to us. Amen. I'm just an instrument. Yeah, I'm just an instrument. So as he talks to you, he's talking to me too. Amen. God has something to say to us. Amen. That's going to be revolutionary. Yes, something that is going to propel us into this new year, into this new year in an awesome manner, in an awesome way. So I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that we have this company here and that company that's joining us by podcast, because I want to see what God can do when people just listen to his word and make up in their mind that they're going to follow him full heartedly. Listen, one reason why I'm so glad you're here is because this morning, today, we are launching our 40-day prayer initiative. Our 40-day prayer initiative. It begins today, our 40-day prayer initiative. What I want each of you to commit yourself to doing, if you would follow us. Anybody interested? Hey, we ask you to come on, get on aboard. Get on aboard this 40-day prayer initiative. It's beginning today. I'm going to ask you to pray, amen, for 40 days. Listen here. This is kind of what we want to do this week. Now, some of you are way beyond this already. Some need to start here. Well, I'm starting at a starting place for new disciples that may be listening in. But we're going to come up. I want you to start this week. Say, this week, beginning today. So you still got time. You still got time. Each day this week, pray a minimum of 15 minutes. I'm not asking much. Each day this week, pray a minimum of 15. I know most of you are already over there. Thank God most of us are way past that. Next week, we're going 4 weeks. We're going for, wait a minute, not 4 weeks, but every 10 days, I want you to take it up. The first 10 days, 15 minutes a day. The second 10 days, 30 minutes a day. The third 10 days, 45 minutes a day. And when we get to those last 10 days, an hour a day. A few years ago, Rick Jordan was here, and he was in a prayer revival. And I think the title of that was 60 Minutes That Changed the World. That's what we're trying to get. We're trying to get everybody, because that's what an initiative is. An initiative is when you start something with hope that it'll never stop. Amen. And that it will begin a whole new. So that's what we're starting today. Our prayer initiative, because we want people, as we move up to that 60 minutes a day, to enjoy prayer so much, they will continue to do that even after the initiative time period is over. That you'll be people who are experiencing God in prayer for an hour a day at minimum. And when you really get to this thing, when you begin, you may have to kind of look at your minutes. But when you really get into it, the minutes don't. After a while, minutes ain't gonna make a difference. Because you're going to begin to enjoy the experience so much, you got to be there an hour or two. So might need to set yourself a clock if you got to go to work or something. because you really got late to work praying to God. All right, so that's where we're going to start. We're going to ask you to start today, our 40-day prayer initiative. Now, I'm going to be doing this 40-day. I think it's about 5 weeks involved, and it seems like, if I'm counting correctly, should be about 5 Sundays during this period. So we're going to start a series this morning on prayer. I like to do a prayer series at least once a year, or at least sometime I might miss a year, but I'll have some sermons prayed out through there about prayer. So this is our prayer series for this year. We want to start this year off right. We want to start this year off powerfully with prayer. So we'll have a series on prayer as we work on our prayer initiative and move toward revolutionizing our prayer lives so God can and make tremendous moves in our life. That's why I'm so glad that you are here today on campus or on the cast, because God has something to say to us. So let's get into his word. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. All right, everybody back there. Devices and pages. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. When you find it, it reads, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not let us into temptation, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." That's the word of God from the New King James Version. Or it may even be the King James. I'm not sure which version, but that's one of the King James Version, and we just pray God. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Listen, let me just talk and begin getting you ready for this. Most of the time, the sermon process, how I get to titles and series. The sermon process for me is different, maybe different from different preachers, but God just kind of captures me, gives me an idea about a subject, a wide-ranging subject, and I'll begin to look at articles or read books or listen to lectures or messages or sermons in that broad area. And the way it always happens is when I'm going through that process, all of a sudden I'll come across something and it seems like God highlights it. You know, like if you have a highlight marker, when you come across something in a book that you want to remember, that you want to make stand out, you highlight it. You do that in school, even with notes. So as I'm in that process of trying to discover what God would have me share with you, that I come across something that He just highlights. And once He highlights it, it's hard not to pay attention to it, because it begins to haunt your thoughts and you can't get it out of your mind. Well, as I was in the process this week, I had already was in this area of prayer because of the 40-day prayer initiative, and I was thinking about, you know, I've done so many sermons on prayer from different passages of scripture, even a passage that we're talking about this morning, but something stood out to me. There's a guy named Leonard Sweet has a phrase, when I came across this, amen, and once you began to that highlighted thing that God highlighted for you in your study, this is what it does to me. Once you look into it and begin, it becomes like the engine of a choo-choo train. It becomes like an engine of a locomotive that all the other cars begin to line up. So once I did that, then the scripture, it brought me back to the scripture, even though I preached to it before, but gave me a different and a more fresher way of sharing with you this morning as we get in this process. But what Leonard Sweet says, listen to me carefully, because this is the title of the series and this morning's message. I want to call it prayer. Please God, or please God. Prayer, please God, or please God. What Dr. Sweat said, he's a Methodist minister, theologian, and he says that it revolutionized his life because he thought of prayer as pleading with God to do the thing that he wanted God to do in his life. Please God, you know, we all say, please God, do this. Please God, do this for us. But he said what revolutionized prayer in his life was when he looked at that phrase, please, comma God, and he took the comma out.
Right, right.
It stopped being, please God, do this, but prayer is not, please God, do this, but prayer is, please God. It's all about pleasing God. Yeah, y'all get that? It's not about saying, please God, do this for me. Do this in my life. Do this for my friend. It's not about pleasing God to do what we would have him to do, but it's about pleasing God. God, what do you want us to do? I want to please you. From now on, my brothers and sisters, we need to look at prayer as not saying, please God, do this for me, but God, I want to please God. I want to please God. And prayer is pleasing. The part of prayer is to please God. Because one, a lot of times when we're pleading with God to do something, it's all about us. We think often that prayer is about us getting something from God. But it's the opposite. It's God getting something from us. It's not God doing what we want him to do, but it's us doing what God would have us to do. That's what prayer. So I want to revolutionize that. I know most of you right here are growing disciples in Christ. That's why you're out here this morning. But there are some in the podcast, maybe even some out here, and even for me, we have to, sometimes you lose sight of what prayer is about. You got to come back to say, hey, prayer is not just saying, please God, do this for me, please God, do this for me, please God, do this for me, please God, do this for me. But prayer is about how can I please God. Now. That's revolutionary right there. That's enough to shout about right there. But let me go down and share with you a little bit more. Now he talks about those that pray like hypocrites. Number one, they're praying for the reward of people's applause. Oh, didn't he pray? I ain't never seen nobody pray like that before. I almost lifted up off my feet because of that prayer. That's what we want people to say. We use all the eloquent words and terms and phrases and so I'm all in. So people was all, it was a great prayer. People get all pumped up. Now, number one, they was a hypocrite because I like what Jesus said. Jesus said, now, you know, think about it. They do get rewarded for their prayer. They get rewarded what they want. What do they want? Applause. And they got the applause. But prayer ought to be more about it. It ought to be more than just getting applause. Amen. That's not the function. That's not the point of prayer. Getting applause. Now, another thing that we are often hypocritical. I'm trying to make sure I'm not putting in the horse before the cart before the horse. Another way we are hypocritical sometimes with prayer is because even though we're praying to God, but it's usually we pray only. Listen here, we pray at church more than we do at home. We pray to be seen more than we pray in secret. And the only time we really pray in secret or away from the public or away from the crowd is when we're going to lose that thing that has taken God's place in our lives. Did y'all catch that? That's the only time we really get serious about prayer. Because there are things in our lives that sometimes take God's place. And when that thing that takes God's place in your life is in jeopardy, and then people that don't usually pray in private begin to pray in private. But the fact that you're praying not really to please God, but you're praying to keep the thing that took God's place. Oh. Are y'all listening to me? I think I'm preaching a little bit more than y'all are. Amen. But I'm going to stay with it. I'm telling more truth than I'm getting from. Can you understand what I'm saying? Because most time when life is going good and going well and going pleasing, we pray. And if we come to church, we know somebody might request us to pray. And we pray publicly. But it's just because we're asked to pray or we're praying for the crowd. But the really when we get serious about prayer in a way away from the public is when the thing that is in jeopardy, which is usually the thing that we place above God, and we're going to lose it, whether it's the house or whatever it may be, the money, the job, the mate, something we put above God, now we want to pray. So we say, please God, don't take this from me. Please God, let me have this. Please God, work this out. And all of a sudden you say, please God, let this God that I put before you stay before you. I don't want to give him up. You pleading with God that he allows you to let somebody else take his place. Help me, Lord Jesus. Preach your holy word. So it's hypocritical. It's hypocritical to pray to a God and you pray for him You prayed to him, so you continue to worship the other God that's before him. That's not a good match. It's not a good fit. And then it goes on talking about the pagans or the heathens. They pray. And now these are ways not to pray. They pray and they repeat themselves over and over, asking over. They'll ask the same thing over and over, hoping that God will hear them and give them what they ask for. So they ask for it over and over, hoping that if I can ask enough God to give it to me, God will give me what I want. So they plead with God. Please God, give me this over. But then he goes on and says, wait a minute, don't do this. Don't be pleading with God, because the Father already knows what you need. I already know what you need. Wait a minute, Pastor. If he already knows what we need, well, why do we even have to pray? Because prayer, first and foremost, is we're trouble for getting your needs met in prayer. But prayer, first and foremost, is not getting your needs met. Prayer, first and foremost, is the experiencing of God. He wants you to pray where you can experience him. He already knows what you need. So he said, do it, but don't spend all day on it. Don't spend all your time on that. The first thing about prayer is the experience of God himself. Yeah. Don't miss out on that. And that's a term they have called FOMO, I think, fear of missing out. And if you want to be afraid of missing out, be afraid of missing out on an experience with God. God wants us to go in prayer, not because he don't know what we need, but he designed for us to get our needs met as we need, and we'll talk about that a little later, but he designed so man that we can go to prayer and experience him in prayer. Experience intimacy with him in prayer. Not just ask for things, but experience his person. Because when you experience his person, it's the most marvelous, wonderful, exciting, adventurous things ever. And you really get to know how amazing your God is and how amazing is his love and care for you. But you will never get that experience until you experience him. And that intimacy with him through prayer. I said, so don't know me. Yes, ask. But you don't already know what you need. I ask you to come to me and share with me what you need. But I already know what you need. I just want you to have the experience of intimacy with me. So that's it's not a please God, but it's I got to please God. I got to find out how to please God. Then he says, so now that's how not to pray. But then he says, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. Wow. That's amazing. I can go to the creator and the sustainer of this vast universe and I can address him as Father. So that takes away. See, therefore, I'm coming on. See, you can't just walk up and ask people for things. Yeah, you can't just walk up and you downtown Dallas and you walk up on somebody and they got a briefcase and all that business person. You say, hey man, let me have your briefcase. They're gonna look at you like you're crazy. You say, what you say? Because you don't have no relationship with this person. You don't know this person. This person is a stranger. You have no right to ask them. But now, if it's your father, because of the relationship, you can ask for things. You can ask him for things you can't ask a stranger for. Because you've got a relationship. That's why I don't understand. If you don't have a relationship with God and you're lost and in sin, it's inappropriate for you to ask God for something. Except to be saved. And life change. I guess you can. Sometimes in his mercy, he might even listen to you, but it's kind of inappropriate. But because he's our Father, we can come to him and ask. But not only that, it's great that he's a Father. And sometime in a private prayer, you know, I just say, hey, you know, when all God come down and you can be honest with God, hey, we can go from father to dad. Because you got that intimate relationship with him. But not only the great thing about him is he's our Father in heaven. So not only do we have the relationship, but we got the relationship with somebody that has all power, all knowledge, everywhere, all the time, omnicompetent, and amazing. We got a relationship with somebody that does not have limits. He's eternal. He can do anything. And this God who's eternal and can do anything tells me that I can come to him and say, Our Father, and begin to enter this intimate experience of him. That's amazing within itself. That he would let me come to him. And he created everything. Yet he knows my name, and I can come say, hey, Dad, it's Tim. Again. It's Tim again. I know it comes to you. Sometimes it seems like y'all say, I'm not listening no more. Because you keep coming to me with the same problem. But he knows me. He knows me. And he'll listen to me because on the basis of our relationship, and he'll never close the book on me. He'll never give up on me because we have a relationship. I'm born into his family. I'm adopted. I'm chosen by him. Hallelujah. And he's my dad. And I can ask him for things that strangers can't ask. See, Gabriel can ask me for things that strangers can't ask me for. Because just on the basis of relationship. And we can do the same thing with God. On the basis of in that experience of him. I'm trying to get y'all to see that prayer is more than for asking for things, pleading with God for things, but it's the enjoyment of the most amazing person in the whole universe. We're like that. We're like that. The child I saw in the story who comes to. She was trying to get the quarter. She's trying to get the quarter, and her dad had a quarter, and you know, it's a game that they play when he gets home. And she's trying to pry his fingers open to get the quarter out. So she can have the quarter. And she works and works. And then, you know, users, sooner or later, he'll go ahead and loosen up a little bit. And she'll get the quarter and run off. And she's happy. And sometimes we do that as believers. We wrestle with God to get the quarter. And then we run out, we won't pray to him. If we don't really need the quarter, we need the dad. Because don't you realize, when you got the dad, you got the quarter. You can go to the quarter. You can take that quarter, go to McDonald's. You can't get none of McDonald's food, no quarter. But if you take the day, oh, y'all don't hear me. The quarter won't get you nowhere, but the dad will. Amen. The dad won't only get you at McDonald's, but he'll take, you can take the dad to the steakhouse. As long as he's there with you in the counter. Amen. As long as he's sitting at the table, and we all sitting at the table and enjoying one another. Amen. The enjoyment of the experience is so special to the dad that he's willing to pay whatever it costs for the CEO, the enjoyment on your face of the thing. So it's always better to have the experience of the dad than what the dad can give you. The problem sometimes, he'll hold back on what he can give you because he don't want you to just run off with the quarter. He wants you to stay there and experience him. Sometimes we fall more in love with the blessing than with the blesser. And the real blessing is having experience with God himself. Ooh. Lord Jesus, just want to please him. Just want to please him. And then it goes on to say, hallowed, this is the part, hallowed be thy name. Oh, Lord have mercy. His name is his character and who he is. And he said, I'm hallowing who you are to me. When you hallow something, you set it aside because it becomes more special than anything else in your life. It becomes more special than anything else in your life. So you can't compare it to anything else. It's hallowed. Hallowed it is, and we hallow his name even as we praise him. That's what praise is all about. Praise is when you're trying to verbalize how special he is. You're trying, and sometimes you just can't use verb. Sometimes, amen, you just do other things so people around you can know how special your God is. Sometimes your eyes will tell them because of the tears that are falling. Sometimes your arms, as you raise them up in prayer, will tell them how special your God is. Because I don't raise my arms up to anybody. But something about my God, he's willing to pray. I can raise my arms up to him because he's not like nobody else. The reason why I show up on Sunday morning, because it was Sunday morning, he's special. But not only is he special on Sunday, he's special on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's why I live my life in a different way, because I hallow him. I represent him. I praise him. I want everybody to know how great my God is. Because they haven't had the same kind of experiences that I've had with him. So I praise him, I praise him, I praise him. I praise him with everything that is within me. Praise him in my thoughts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah sometimes. Sometimes you praise him, you get too loud. Hallelujah. Sometimes you praise him and it gets too long. But you can't help yourself. You're trying to cut the thing off, but it just, when you start talking about it, it's like the one said, I wasn't going to tell nobody. But he's so good to me, I couldn't keep it to myself. Oh, hallelujah to his name. Praise him. Hallowed be thy name. You are the one that's hallowed. You are the one that's hallowed. And as you praise him and you hallow him, what grows from that is you want to please him. Because if you praise him and you don't want to please him, that's hypocritical. Oh my goodness. If you praise him and you don't want to please him, it's hypocritical. Because in prayer you said he's the most valuable thing in your life. And when something is valuable, then it demands your willingness to please. And let me share quickly a story. Yeah, I remember the story from David. David's life. David is a mighty man. There was a battle. And David was thinking about a special creek in his homeland, a special creek, and how good it was when he used to go to that special creek in his homeland. And now remember, in his homeland, the enemy was coming after searching for him. Amen. Because this is the time I think Saul was after him. So he couldn't go to his homeland because there was an enemy keeping him out. But David just shared. He wasn't, you know, he didn't really want, he said, boy, I sure wish I can have some water from that little creek in my homeland. He was just saying something. He was just sharing something. But you know, he has a mighty man. And his mighty man heard what he just, he was just sharing. He just, you know, I sure wish I, he was just thinking about home and reminiscing about home. And how he used to get water. He said, boy, I sure wish I had some water from that. That creek water in that particular creek shore. And his man heard him. Now they looked up to him and respected him as a king. Amen. And he meant a lot to them. And because he meant, even then, he didn't ask them to go. But when somebody means a lot to you, and you just have a hit, you have a hit at what they like. And they went into enemy territory to get David a drink of water out of that little pond. They risked their lives because of what David meant to them as a leader. He said, David, he said, well, why do you know we don't have to go? But David means so much to me as a leader, I'm willing to risk my life to go to that point to get in the water he talked about. When God means a lot to you, you can just, oh, wait a minute, what? You can just think about something to please God you want to please. Oh, yeah, I want to please. People don't have to beg you then. You know, they don't have to beg you to serve. They don't have to beg you to follow after him because you know it pleases God. And because God means so much to you, you'll do whatever is necessary to please him. So don't praise him without pleasing him. Praising and pleasing go together. To have one and not have the other is hypocritical. I don't know how far I'm going to have to wait. It's going to have to be a part two. I got a lot to cover. I ain't going to cover it all. Listen. Then he goes on. This is the good part. And while we experiencing God, praising and pleasing him and having that experience. And then he says, not thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Most of the time in our please God prayer, we're saying, my kingdom come, my will be done. We want what we want. Our prayer becomes getting what we want. We're not saying, thy will be done, thy kingdom done. Now the problem is, and that reminds me of some scriptures in the Bible that say, let me read them to you. You've heard these scriptures before. I'm going to show you how they fit this. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Yeah. If I regard iniquity, Psalm 66:18, in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. In other words, if there's a sin, an act of disobedience in my life that I'm not willing to let go, woo, help me, Lord Jesus. If there's something displeasing to God in my life, and I'm not willing to let go of that thing, that thing has captured more of my attention, and it's all about that thing, then God says, I'm not going to answer your prayer. Why? Because prayer is not about, please God, do this for me, but prayer is about pleasing God. I'm not going to waste my time, because you didn't come to me to please God. You didn't come to me with a please God attitude. You came to God with, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm not giving this up, but I still need something from you, and I'm not going to give you what you want, because you're holding on to something that I'm not pleased with. Woo. Oh, Lord, have mercy. So if there's something, some activity, something in your life, if you're saying, hey, I'm not going to give this up. And he said, well, I'm not going to listen to you give it up. Because prayer, well, I listen to prayer that's about pleasing me, pleasing God. I don't mean that you already said that you ain't coming. Your life ain't about pleasing me, because you want to give a good thing that pleases me. And then James. Y'all know James said, see, because some of y'all said, well, what about, that's the Old Testament pastor. What about the New Testament? New Testament. James. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Ooh. He said, you ask, but you ask amiss. Y'all hear that? Y'all get that? You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss. What does it mean, you ask amiss? It means like, just like it sounds. You asking something, but you miss the target. The target is pleasing God. You're asking for something that's not about pleasing God. You're asking about something that's to please your own lust or your own desires. You're not asking because you know what God desires and you need His support to take care of what He desires, but you ask Him to support you in seeking your own desires. So you miss the mark. I know y'all not happy about that. I'm not, you know, sometimes these kind of words, we're not getting happy about it, but I'm not here to make you happy. I'm here because I want to revolutionize the way you pray. So that God can answer your prayer. The prayer is, Jesus, this the way you pray. This the way you do it. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Prayer is about pleasing God. So when I see, when I'm in that intimate experience with God of praying, and God shares with me His plan, His purpose, His priorities for my life, and I'm trying to carry out those priorities, those purposes, His plan, His program, then I can call to Him for support. Because God is not, He said, He's into supporting His plan, His program, His priorities. He's not here to support your plan, your priorities, your pleasure, your privileges. I was thinking about a few days ago when we watched those individuals who stormed the Capitol. Now, if they were doing that for the right reason, if they were doing the right thing, see, if those same individuals were our troopers and they were at war with some country that we was at war with, you know, if they got in trouble, they get called for reinforcements, because they're doing the will of the country. So when you're doing the will of the country and you get in trouble, the enemy got you tied down, then you can call for reinforcements, and they'll send helicopters and airplanes and troops and tanks, because you're doing the will of the country. But now they're out on their own doing something that is against the will of the country, you can't call for backup. And what we want to do our own thing in our own way, and we want to be able to call God for backup. God said, I don't back that up. Because that ain't my will, that ain't my plan, that ain't my priority. I don't bag it up. You on your own. Man, not only do I not bag it up, but I make shut that up. Because it's against my will. It's not fit. So a lot of times, the reason why your prayer not being answered, you have to look at the thing in your life. Now, none of us are perfect. I'm not saying perfection, but you ought to at least have a desire, a will to repent of the thing and get deliverance and get move forward and grow out of that thing. If you say, "Oh no, I'm just gonna do. I've always been this way. I'm gonna always be this way," then you're gonna always have your prayers not answered. Woo, that's a little bit too much for me. But it's revolutionary. But he said, "Oh, don't be in God's will. Oh, when you're all about thy kingdom come and thy will be to, you'll have backup like no other." God is just, he'll just, see, that's the experience. That's the experience he didn't want you to miss. When you have that intimate encounter and experience of him, and you're praying as you seek to do his will, God will move heaven and earth to give you the bag up you need. And can't nobody, there's no door that can stop you, no wall can keep you out, because he'll call wall to fire, he'll open doors that are closed. Some are saying no, but God is saying yes, and God always had the last word. When you're in his will, when you're doing God's will, that's what prayer is about. It's about getting his will done. And when you focus on getting his will done, that will be done. God will do some amazing. I'm trying to think. I haven't studied the story in a while, but I remember a little bit of it. I can't think of his name right now, but God is, he will do some simply all through scripture. He does amazing things because people pray to him. You remember when Peter was in prison? When he said the church prayed. He was in chains. He was in a cell. And he was going to get his head cut off the next day. But the church prayed. See, it wasn't the fact that he was in prison. See, you can be in prison and chained and in line to get the head chopped off. But the most important thing is that he was in the will of God. And when you're in the will of God, God will move heaven and earth to get, be your backup. He sent an angel down. Amen. Peter came out of the shackles. The angel walked him through the door. The door opened up for him. Peter outside the house and show up at the church house where the church had gathered and were praying for him. And he did it so quick that they thought it wasn't even Peter. Because you have to understand, when God sent you back up, the devil got the back up. Oh, God, Lord Almighty. So if the devil is in your life, wrecking heaven, I'm going to stop by to tell you, if you really want to do his will, if you really want to please him, God will send you back up. And when God send you back up, the enemy got to back up. See, I'm tired of you wrecking havoc in my life. I'm tired of you just doing things and destroying my family, destroying this and destroying that. I'm going to go down and say, God, what's your plan and your purpose? From now on, I'm pursuing your plan, your purpose, your priorities. And then I know as I'm doing that, then I can call on you. That's what the rest of it, I'm not going to quickly go through the rest of it. Because then he said, after you got that straight, that's all about God's will, then you can ask, give me this day my daily bread. Then you can ask what you need. Because you're on his plan. Amen. When you're in the army, working for the country, you don't have to worry about being fed because it's their responsibility to feed you. It's their responsibility to give you a place to stay. It's their responsibility, if you get hurt, to take care of you. It's the bill. They pay the bill for that. Correct? Because you're in there, and that's what God said, when you're doing my will, my plan, and my way, and prioritizing me, I got your back. Ask me what you need, and I give it to you. I give it to you. Now, don't put me on a time clock. Don't put me on a time clock. I'm going to have to close this. I think I'm all in my time. Will. Listen, we'll do it part two. I'm going to go back and do the rest of this part two. But the reason why I think God says, and Jesus says in the early beginning of the sermon, when you pray, go to a secret place, shut the door, and God sees you in secret. Because I think he said, and we see this even in the life of Jesus himself, when you want to really pray, you need to isolate yourself. You need to isolate yourself from other influences.
Right. Amen.
I want you to isolate yourself from what everybody else is saying, other influences, what the world is saying from your culture. Isolate yourself so you can pray to me in secret. Isolate yourself. Now, one reason sometimes we need, because culture will have us praying wrong and expecting wrong, because we live in a microwave culture when everything is instant. Instant and timely, we want it. Amen. We don't want to have to wait a long time for our food to get ready. We can put it in the microwave, get it ready real quick. Amen. Amen. We want everything quick in our culture, because our culture that we live in is a quick culture. And we're used to getting things real quick. So when God don't answer quick, when God takes his time and answers on time, in the best time, we thank God and let us down, because culture says when you want something, it ought to come quick. So you got to isolate yourself from what culture is telling you. Secondly, listen here. Secondly, is you got to isolate, because sometimes the reason why we don't pray, because we think in our day and time that the culture, our culture, that human beings have the answers. You know, we're really technologically advanced. We got cars that practically drive themselves. We can go to the moon and send rockets to the moon. We got so much technology and computers, and we can send messaging and all kinds of technology. Even today, even in the processing of the vaccine, we came up with a vaccine for the coronavirus in record time. So in our culture sense, amen, that man can do anything. And sometimes we bring that in when you bring that into your prayer consciousness, you don't think you need to pray, because you think the solution is in a man and what humans can do and what you can do. Culture told you can do it. You don't need God. Not in this scientific world. You can do it. You ought to be able to do it on your own. All of stuff, you can make this thing happen on your own, so you don't need God. But we said when you pray, you got to go in your secret closet, close the borders of culture and the people you want to impress. You say, I ain't ready to impress nobody now. I'm all by myself in my closet, on my park bench, in my field, and I drive my car in my room at church, and I get my little space out here on my property. I'm all by myself and can't nobody hear me but my heavenly Father. He said, now if I call on him and his will, I'm all by my life by the will, he will answer me. He'll see you in secret. See that? You know, the man that was praying for a crowd, he said, the crowd saw me rewarding with praise. I don't need praise. I need more than praise. I don't wait till I say I'm good at this. When I come to God, and when God sees you in secret, he knows you for real then. Because you ain't trying to impress nobody. You ain't listening to what nobody's saying. You ain't listening to what culture's saying. It's just you and him. The way it's always been. When you got faith,
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad. I don't have to be in a 911 moment to call on my God. I can call on him. I can go to my secret place and pray. Cause there, I can stumble. In my words, you know, sometimes when you're praying probably, you're not a good public speaker. You say, oh, I'm afraid I'm gonna stumble. I'm gonna say something stupid. I'm gonna forget what I was gonna say. You know, when you in secret, you can stumble, stutter. God, he just said you get warmed up. You know when you start in public, folks will laugh at you. But he said, God, oh, he's just getting warmed up. You look like one of my old cars. Because you know sooner it's going to come out, and once it get warmed up, once it get up, it's going to take you somewhere. And God is saying, that's all right. You can come like you are. Get your words wrong, get your sins all mixed up. Forget what you're going to say. But they say, Lord, pretty soon, you get frustrated and say, God, I don't even know. All I know is I need help. My whole life is messed up, but everything going wrong. And I'm trying my best to get back on the right road. I'm trying my best to live a life that pleases you. All I know is I need help. I don't know how to ask you for help. I don't know where I'm at because I got so many problems. I don't even know which problem to address. But here I am. Yeah. And it did say that. It said, once you get to that point, I'm glad the Bible said, then the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, when you're groaning and moaning because you can't understand, you can't get it out. He said, the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's all right. I know you're going through right now. I know you're frustrated right now. I know you can't get your words and your thoughts together. Let me go ahead and finish this prayer for you. God, this is what he needs, Father. He can't get it through now, but I know what he needs. He said, the Holy Spirit will make intercession for you. Woo! Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. I gotta cut this thing out. We'll do part two next week. I gotta cut this thing out. But prayer is not please God, but please God. Yeah. Just wanna please you. And as I'm walking in your will to do your plan, to please you, your program, your purpose, your priorities, sometimes I'm gonna need things. I need to give him a daily bread. Sometime I'm going to need pardon because I'm going to mess up. And I need to be able to ask for forgiveness. Sometime I'm going to need protection from the evil one. Leave me on this. I'm going to need protection. I don't need you to protect me. And I know you say it. If it's about your will, you'll give me pardon. You'll give me protection. You'll give me provision. Because I'm living out. So in the end, you'll get the glory. You get the glory. That's what it's about. And I get the encounter. You get the glory. And I get the encounter. You get the glory and I get the experience of you. The marvelous, magnificent, wonderful, great God that loves me beyond my imagination. All right, Gavin's gonna come with a song. Listen, y'all. God is there. It says the invisible God. You don't see him, the unseen God. You read through that again. You don't see God, but there's an Indian story. What the Indians do when a young boy get a certain age, they'll sit them out in the forest by themselves overnight in the dark. They say, hey, you don't go out, it's time for you to start going through your manhood training, you're coming from a child to come in, so we're gonna send you out into the forest to survive overnight in the dark. And that 13-year-old, I think it's you around about 13-year-old, they go out in the forest and in the dark. And he said that when one of the sons went out there, he was in the forest and in the dark, nervous, jumpy all night, animals and everything in the forest. It was so dark, but this is what he had to do. This is the ritual they put you through as you reach out of each manhood. But he said in the morning, as the sun began to come out, He was able. Sun began to brighten up. He looked through the trees, and in the trees was his father standing there with a bow and arrow. Couldn't see him in the night. Thought he was all alone, but all the time, his father was standing there, protecting his boy. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad when life gets dark? He's standing there. Oh, aren't you glad he's there? You can't see him all the time. I'm about to tell you, he's there. And you won't be able to see that he's there. Because in the night, they're going to be weeping. But joy come in the morning, and you realize he was there all the time. That's why I love him. All right. Come on, again. We got to cut this thing off before they cut us out the podcast. I done preached too long. Hallelujah.
Storm, out of every wind.
thank you again, those of you joining by podcast, and those of you that are on campus. Thanks, God has been good to us. Let's leave here with it, the 40-day prayer initiative on our mind. Spend some time in prayer these first 10 days and 10 days. Now, if you want to fast, that's good too. You can add a fast to that time. We didn't, most time we give you something to fast, but most of y'all know the fast that we usually do. If you're free to do one of those, I didn't want to, give you, that burden this year because there's so many things happening with the kids learning it and, so much stuff that happening in our home trying to help kids and the virus and all the stuff. Just a lot of things. I don't want you to have to worry about when I can eat, not eat, what kind of food I got to have. I want to take that burden off of you. Just spend time with God and try to experience and encounter God for the next 40 days in a special way. I think Brother Favors has come around for those of you that would like to give an offering. Okay, and the first 10 days, again, you can pray as long as you want to pray, but I'm saying a minimum, the first 10 days, beginning today, a minimum of 15 minutes. You can do that 15 minutes at one time, or you can do 5, 5, 5, 5 in the morning, 5 at noontime, 5 at night. Okay, then after those 10 days, the second 10 days, amen, we're going to do 10 minutes. We're going to do, 30 minutes. So you do 10, 10, 10, or do 2, 15, just do 30 minutes in the whole day. And then at the third 10 days, you're going to do 45 minutes. You do 15, 15, 15, or 30, 15, or whatever. Just in the end, you want 45. The main thing, we're trying to get to the last 10 days where we're doing an hour and hope that can become a practice in your life from now on. Not an hour, just an hour, but even more, but at minimum an hour. Because there are people who have been in church a long time and they are not quite there yet. So this is an initiative. We're just beginning something. And we hope that you'll get to impact your life in a way that you begin to enjoy spending time with God. So don't focus even on the time. I'm getting the time, but mainly focus on the experience of just being with God and getting with God. Don't let that time distract you, throw you off. It's just a suggestion. But these next 40 days, just spend time with God in prayer. And not just asking him for things, but just praising him and knowing what his will and your purpose. Say, okay, God, if I'm going to accomplish your will, your purpose, your plan, I need these things. I need to be forgiven for these things so I can have that load off of me. And I need to forgive others. And I need your protection because I know as I'm doing your will, the closer I get to your goals, your dream for my life, the enemy is going to attack. And I need your protection from the enemy on the outside and also from the end of me, the one that's inside of me. Amen. So hopefully, and like I said, we'll repeat that again next week. And either if you just need further instruction, you can always text the call and we will see if we can make it further. But mainly, just spend time with God these next 40 days. And we're hoping that after the 40 days are over, you have enjoyed that encounter and experience so much that you will continue to do it. All right, let's go. Let's stand to be by benediction. And if you don't, thank y'all for joining in. Now to him that's able to present us without fault before our Father's throne. May the love of God, our Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let us all say together 3 times, amen, amen, and amen.
If I hear the word, I'll call you first.